The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Excuse me of not making a great entrance. There we go. We're good. Oh, it's great to be back. We haven't been here for 3 weeks. We've been on holidays and it was a real blessing. Thank you to everyone for all your prayers. We had a few issues with perhaps the rain and God looked after us very well and we've come back feeling quite refreshed and revived, which is thankful. So many great things that I've heard, particularly about the May Missions Month. What a wonderful weeks that those have been, and I've heard people telling me about wonderful messages that they've heard and everything like that as well. So that's all a great blessing, which reminds us that the kingdom of God is not built by one individual, but many working together for the glory of the Lord. As we head into June, we are going to have a series of sermons focusing on stewardship and generosity. Now, there's many passages in the scripture that talk about these issues of stewardship and generosity. And today, from today and the next 2 Sundays, we're going to look at 3 passages that just teach us and challenge us and remind us of biblical principles and biblical teaching around this issue. But we'll focus today on Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12, where it talks about not robbing God from the opportunity to pour out His blessing. Next week, we'll talk about 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15, and we'll talk about the difference between the guilt of giving and the grace of giving. And then on the third week, we'll look at Mark 12, 41 to 44, and talking about what is ear-catching kingdom giving, and that we can all be ear-catching kingdom givers. As an eldership, when we talk about the upcoming preaching plan, we talk about that prior to the preaching plan and we pray into that. As an eldership, we discern for this particular series that in connection with the series, it would be really helpful and beneficial to help the church understand some of the financial needs within the church. Partly to give us an understanding of where does finances go, what do we need, how do we serve the Lord here together. And there's 3 areas that we're going to focus on, focusing on just the general operational structure of the church and the needs there, on the property and the financial opportunities that we have within the property, and then also the ministry of mercy. We'll do that each week. We'll do that in a moment. The purpose of this series, though, is really to give us, and this is what I want you to pray into, pray that we are equipped through the scriptures to understand this area of life in our church, understand stewardship, understand obedience, understand our calling into the area of giving. And that we further pray that as a congregation we're more informed of the ministry opportunities that we have as a church and that which is possible when we have financial capacity. So we're going to turn to the Word of God in a moment. But first I'm going to invite our brother Jeff Rickman to come up. And he's going to talk about the general operational finances that we require as a church and the opportunities that we have within that space as well. As we serve the Lord together. And this is also where the AGM, the members' meeting, is also helpful in enabling us to understand what this is going. So thanks, Jeff.
Morning, church. Just wait for the internet on. Yep. Awesome. So, yeah, I'll just talk generally about what it takes the operationally to fund and run our church. Matt will talk next week about some of the project stuff that's going on and what we'd like to spend on some upgrades and more significant things around the church. And then Ben, the following week, will talk about more of our outreach giving in terms of the community and abroad. So our church budget now is approaching roughly about $500,000, which is fairly significant. About 60% of that is really down to salaries, so supporting our pastors, of course, our office worker, our cleaner, and all the on-costs associated with that. Outside of that, our property is a fairly large property with lots of costs, so our property budget annually is about $60,000+, which covers, of course, all of our general utilities like gas, electricity, waste removal, a lot of stuff like that, but also just the upkeep of the grounds, the buildings, new furnishings, ICT equipment. There's a lot of stuff in there. And we put aside, at the moment, about $10,000 to $12,000 a year just for our asset funds. So that's for more major upgrades that we do along the way. So there's a fair bit of cost in that. Admin-wise, we have our insurances that are probably about close to $20,000 a year. We have all of our general admin, our total admin budget is about $35,000. So it's still a fairly significant amount. We have to give, we willingly give, $12,000 to QB each year for being part of the Baptist Union, our fees there. And on top of that, just our general support of our missionaries is about $40,000 a year, $42,000 a year. So all in up, yeah, it's quite a lot of costs. We are fortunate that our ministry groups are fairly self-funded. There's about $15,000 a year in that, but they have their own fees, which is helpful. We're also fortunate in that we have a tower at the back of our property, which gives us about $25,000 a year in revenue, which is great. It offsets a bit of our costs. But mostly, you know, the government doesn't give us money. We get a bit of relief on our GST and things like that, but this church is funded by the giving of the church, and offerings is about 90% of our costs. So we really need offerings to support this church operationally. Unfortunately, at the moment, our offerings are quite substantially down, so that's a concern for us going forward. So those of you who are in the LR members meeting will see the figures, but that's quite a concern. So, yeah, giving is very important to just operationally support our church. So just pray about that. That's about it.
That's about it. Thank you. Thanks, brother. Help us to understand these issues. In terms of the practicalities of going around giving, obviously the bag goes around on a Sunday and you can put into that. There's also envelopes that you can use to do that. You can also give electronically. At the back, we've got a square that you can each week, if you want to, or whatever cycle of giving that you give, do that electronically. And there's also a BSB option as well, and the information of that is in the newsletter. So multiple ways of doing that, remembering that all of this is our response to the Lord and what he's doing for us and in our lives and in service to him. And it helps. We need to recognize, I know churches don't like, some people don't like talking about money, don't like talking about finances, but the reality is that the scriptures do talk about finances, the scriptures do talk about money, Jesus focused on it. And so there is a spiritual connection between our finances and the way that we live and serve as a church. And so we want to be biblically informed about these sorts of things and serve the Lord according to the way that he calls us. So this morning, the text that we're going to focus on is Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, it became obvious that there was going to be a lot of other verses that I was going to refer to. So we've actually, connected to the handout that you got this morning, there's a series of verses that we will be there. So that's for your ease if you want to be able to read them a bit easier. Sometimes trying to find these verses quickly in the Bible is not the easiest thing, especially because we're down with the data at the moment as well. You don't have to read it. You might have your preferred option for your Bible. You'll know where the verses are. You'll see them coming up just to help you there. I'm using the NIV translation and we'll be focusing and working through this section this morning. So as we do that, why don't we pray and just ask for God's blessing as we focus on the Word. Lord, we're thankful for the way that you provide. We're thankful for the calling that you have on each of our lives. We're thankful for this location and the history that we have here on this property, and for the generational generosity that has been evident in this place for many years. Lord, we have what we have today because of the generosity of those who've gone before us and the hearts of giving of those who have gone before us. And we want to, for the next generation, Lord, also continue to provide, continue to have those means for your kingdom to go forward. And Lord, today as we focus on Malachi, Lord, help us not to hear this as a plea for money, but as a calling to think about our relationship with you and what you are doing and how you provide and the blessings that you give in your heart in all of this. And Lord, to help us to understand our response to your word and how we can live in obedience. Lord, we're not talking today about things where we need to come before you and abject confession because we've forgotten about you or because we're not in relationship with you. We're talking about how we can serve you as your people together. So Lord, give us that heart as we listen to your word this morning and pray that your spirit will be with us as we hear that word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll start with Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. And it says there, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. So before the Lord goes into talking about the issues at hand and reminding them about these issues, the Lord first reminds the descendants of Jacob, that's another name for the Jewish people, for Israel, for the Jewish nation. There's a number of words that can be used to describe them. These are the people who Malachi is writing to. Malachi is writing to them sometime in the 4th century BC. And the Lord is reminding his people of his unchanging character. I, the Lord, do not change. The Lord is and always will be gracious and compassionate. That's the description of God's character in Psalm 103. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. He will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So were it not for the unchanging character of God, the descendants of Jacob in the 4th century BC would be destroyed. Indeed, if it was not for the gracious character of God and the unchanging character of God, we would be destroyed in the 21st century AD. But we're not destroyed. And the reason we're not destroyed is because of the character of God. And a character that is clearly revealed to us in John 3, 16 and 17, where we're told that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The Lord does not change, so we are not destroyed. And instead of destroying, the Lord uses his word to bring about repentance and transformation and obedience in our lives. And the reason the Lord does this is because of his character, but also because of the character of the people. Because the character of the people is we don't live in obedience. We do go our own way. We don't follow God's word, and we need God's word to direct our lives. That's what the Lord is doing in our text today. He's calling his people towards greater conformity to his word, towards greater conformity to his will. So let's keep reading what the specific issue is. Malachi 3, 7, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So the Lord is addressing an issue, a need for a change in character. And as he does that, the descendants of Jacob, the Jews at the time, they're a bit confused. The Lord says, return to me and I will return to you. And the people say, well, how do we return? This is actually not a question being asked in disobedience. And it's not a question where they're excusing their behavior because they're of a lack of knowledge. They legitimately are asking this question, haven't we returned already? Our ancestors, they were the ones who went into Babylon. They were the ones who you sent, Lord, into Babylon because they turned away from the decrees of the Lord. But we've returned. We've come back from exile. Now, historically, for the people in the days of Malachi, that return from exile is at least 50 years in the past for them, maybe even 100 years. It's a bit hard to know exactly when it is, but it's in the past. And not only have they returned from the exile, they've rebuilt God's temple, and so they've returned to worship. The building of the temple is at least 30 years in the past, even a bit longer. And so they're confused, Lord, we've returned. We've come back from the Babylonian exile. We've returned to worship in the temple. So how can we return? We're a bit confused, Lord. And that can happen in our Christian life, can't it? Where we are faithful and we are serving the Lord and we are committed to Him. And we believe that we are walking the road that God wants us to walk. And we believe that we are living in obedience. But at the same time, we're a bit unaware of the need to spiritually refine our lives. And one of those areas where we are particularly vulnerable and where every believer through every generation has been vulnerable is in connection with finances and our money and our resources. And the way we use what we say is ours. It's ours. Yes, it is. It is your money. It is your resources. And you do get to choose how you spend your money. You can do it however you like. But the spiritual challenge we have as those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is we live in a world that entices us to use our money for things that are for ourselves. And the Lord calls us to a different life. And that's what's happening to the descendants of Jacob in verses 8 and 9. The Lord is very clear. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. But again, they're a bit confused. God, how can we rob from you? How is this possible? We don't understand what you're talking about, Lord. So the Lord is spelling it out. He's saying, look, it's not enough just to come back from the exile and be in the land. It's not enough just to come to worship. There needs to be an obedience in this area of your life as well. There needs to be a return to using the finances that you have for fulfilling your covenantal obligations. And that's called the tithe. Now, because tithes are an Old Testament teaching, they come out of the Old Testament law, we might not be so familiar with it, or we might have a bit of an understanding of what a tithe is, but not really have looked at what the Old Testament tells us about the tithe and its significance. So that's what we're going to do. What is this tithe? In Leviticus 27, verses 30 to 32, this is the first time that the law of tithing is mentioned in the Bible. Previous to this, there's examples of people who tithe and give a tenth, but this is the first time the law of tithing is mentioned in the Bible. Leviticus 27:30, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord, Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth to its value. Redeeming means you sell the particular item. You might say it's a cow. You sell the cow. It's worth a certain amount of money. You get that. You add another 20% to that. And then that's what you take to bring as a tithe rather than the animal itself. Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth of the value to it. Every tithe of the herd and the flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. Now, the most important aspect to remember regarding the tithe is that the tithe belongs to the Lord. It is His to determine how He is going to distribute it. A tenth of the flocks and the herds and the grains and the fruits, whatever you produced, or the income you made by selling produce and goods, or the income that you made by hiring yourself out as a laborer, all of this is to be collected. And then at a certain point throughout the year, you would make your way, depending on the year, you would make your way down to Jerusalem and you would bring the tithe into the storehouses of the Lord. So sometimes it was collected seasonally. There's a whole range of ways that it would do it. But whatever your situation was, one-tenth, the tithe, belongs to the Lord. Now, how does the Lord use His tithe? We're reading Numbers 18, verse 21. I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work that they do while serving at the tent of meeting. So why do the Levites need the tithe? Reading verse 23, they will receive no inheritance among the Israelites. Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. That is why I said concerning them, they will have no inheritance amongst the Israelites. So the Israelites are the ones who are responsible for looking after what goes on at initially the tabernacle and then at the temple, the upkeep and all of those sorts of things. When it was the tabernacle, it was the responsibility of the Levites, especially when they were going wandering in the desert, that it was their responsibility to pack it all up, to carry it, and then to set it all up once again when they got to the next destination. As time went on, the tabernacle faded away and the temple was built, and in that place the Levites served as musicians and gatekeepers and guardians and temple officials and judges. This is the group who are to receive the tithe. Now, because this tribe has no inheritance, that's why they receive it. You may remember that when the people come into the promised land and finally the land is distributed, that the Levites don't get a piece of land. The Levites are allocated 48 cities throughout the land, and that's their inheritance. The city and the bit of land around it, that was their inheritance. But as a land itself, a whole land, they were given no inheritance. And because that was the case, and also because the Levites had the responsibility of working in the temple and the tabernacle and doing all that, they couldn't also earn an income, so this is their income. This is the ministry that the Lord is providing for. The Lord is using His tithe for the ministry of the Word, for the upkeep of the ministry of the Word. The Lord is using His tithe to bring people into a closer relationship with Him, into a deeper relationship with Him, to draw people who are a part of the family of God closer to His heart. The tithe is used for the benefit of the people. But that's not the only way the tithe is used. Let's keep reading. Now we're at Deuteronomy chapter 14. Verse 22, be sure to set aside a tenth of all your fields, all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place He will choose as a dwelling for His name. so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. Did you hear what's going on here? The Lord is calling his people to collect the tithe, and then he tells them, take that tithe, and I want you to have a feast, and gather and have a feast, and use that which is mine to celebrate. Now, this is not a separate tithe to the tithe described in Numbers 18. This is a further revelation of how this tithe that belongs to the Lord is to be used. Let's keep reading. But if that place, verse 24, if that place is too distant and you have been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry your tithe because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away, then exchange your tithe for silver and take the silver with you and go to the place where the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, and other fermented drink. God is giving them money to buy alcohol. Gather the tithes that belong to me, and from this tithe, buy all this food, and go down to the shop and buy alcohol. Keep on reading. Then you and your household should eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. And do not neglect the Levites living in your town, for they have no allotment or inheritance of their land. So just a reminder, it's not all about having massive parties all the time at the expense of the ministry of the word. But look at what God is doing with his tithe. He's using his tithe to give to his people to provide an environment of hospitality and celebration to build the community so that the faith community together before the Lord can be encouraged in their relationship with each other and in their relationship with the Lord. It's all for the benefit of his people. And that's not all. We keep reading Deuteronomy 14 from verse 28. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your own towns, so that the Levites, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners and the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands. Again, this is not a separate tithe. It's a further revealing of how this tithe is to be collected and distributed and how the Lord wants it to be used. And what we're realizing is every third year that the tithe of that year, it doesn't go down to Jerusalem. It stays in the local area and it's used to care for those Levites. Remember, the cities are all distributed all through the nation, care for the Levites in those cities, and also to care for the poor and the disenfranchised and the orphans and even the foreigners. The tithe is used by the Lord to provide for the ministry of mercy, that no one who is in need falls short. It's for the benefit of his people, not just the people who are part of the Jewish community, but even foreigners. You hear what's going on here? The tithe belongs to the Lord. And then the Lord, in the gathering of that tithe, has determined it's his choice. He can do with it whatever he wants. He has determined that he wants it all to be used for the benefit of his people. And so when the people are robbing God of the tithe, what they're actually doing is robbing God of the opportunity to bless his people, to benefit his people. That's what's happening in Malachi chapter 3. And so this passage isn't about the money. God doesn't need the money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need the money. He has a heart for his people. The character of God, which we said does not change, is a character that wants to work for the benefit and the blessing of his people. And so God's heart is that these resources are pulled together for the benefit of his people. God puts in place a process, the gathering of the tithe, to benefit the people so that the people will have the resources they need for the ministry of the word. And that his people will be brought into a closer and deeper relationship with God, the God who loves them. There are times in the history of Israel when the temple was neglected. And there was not funds for the temple. And the nation suffered as a result. And the spiritual temperature of the nation suffered as a result. And God's saying, you're robbing. But you're robbing me of this opportunity to bless you and teach you and draw yourself closer to me. And be brought in fellowship with me. That same process, the gathering of the tithe, is to benefit his people so that those who have, so that there are the resources necessary for the community to be gathered. Remember, in those days, the community was spread out all over the place. Jerusalem was the center where the temple was, and so this idea of gathering for worship, it didn't happen every week, it didn't happen every day, it happened during various times in the year and feasts and bringing the people together. And as we get together, God's like, I'm so glad you're together, and here's the resources that you have. I don't want you to worry about food and all that sort of stuff. It's taken care of so that you can be in fellowship together and you can encourage each other, and there can be hospitality and there can be worship and there can be celebration. There can be celebration, and there's abundant provision for that. The same tithe which is gathered, God is seeking to supply the resources necessary for the ministry of mercy, for the benefit of the poor, for the disenfranchised, for those outside the community. That there can be a blessing that comes on those who are struggling, who are in financial difficulty, who are searching, who are not as blessed as others within the community, who are even from outside the community. That's the determination of God. That the ministry of the word is funded, that the fellowship and celebration of the growing community is funded, that the ministry of the mercy is funded. That's what God determined. And that's a principle that we bring across out of the Old Testament into the New Testament, because God is the same. And today, equally as it was back then, that God wants these things to be funded for the people, for the blessing upon the people. The ministry of the word is funded. New Testament speaks a whole lot about that. We'll talk about that in another occasion. For the ministry of the word is funded. The fellowship and gathering together is a priority for the New Testament kingdom. The ministry of mercy and caring for the orphans and the widows, it's all part of this package. This is God's heart. God's character is that he wants to build a kingdom which spiritually benefits his people. God wants to shower the blessing upon his people. In fact, God is so keen to have this tithe, so keen to see the full benefit of this tithe, that in Malachi, God offers an incentive. The incentive is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Now let's remember the context. Where does the tithe go? In years 1 and years 2, it all goes to Jerusalem. It goes into the temple. It's stored there, however they used to do that. It goes to that central place. In year 3, it's collected locally, and it stays locally, and then they continue that cycle. And so when it talks about bringing the storehouse, this is not a promise to one individual. The blessing that comes is not an individual blessing to those who tithe. This is a promise to the community. That the faith community don't rob God, so that the faith community together, the whole community, will see the blessing of God in action. And what is the blessing of God in action? The blessing of God in action is the ministry of the word going out and calling people and growing people and transforming lives. And the blessing that comes is the fellowship and the celebration and the worship and the encouragement and the growth that comes when we are together. And the blessing which comes is the joy of giving for those who have less than ourselves, a ministry of mercy. That's the blessing. God says, test me in this and watch me flood you with that blessing. But you'll say, oh, doesn't the scripture say, don't put your Lord to the test? It does. It's a different word. The word we want to have in mind, or the testing word we want to have in mind, we can read in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. The psalmist says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The testing here is put in place a situation that is enabled to say to for you to see that I am who I say that I am. And in this case, for the psalmist, Lord, you understand that I am a person that in this moment has anxious thoughts. And you've tested that and you know the reality and the truth. That's the way the word testing is applied here. And God takes that word and he says, test me in this. Know the truth. Know my heart. Know that I will fulfill my promises. Test me and you will see that I will provide all that you need and so much more, that my people, you, will be blessed beyond all you can imagine in the word and the ministry that you're doing, in the ministry that you have, in the kingdom impact that you are having. That's what it's talking about. And we can rob God of that. We can rob God of that. As we think about our response, we need to recognize, and we have to be very clear, the era of the tithe is finished. It's an Old Testament law. It's an Old Testament concept. The biblical principle that now applies to our giving is succinctly described in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. We're going to talk about that passage next week. But for now, let's understand that the era of tithing is over. But our capacity to rob God of the opportunity to bless his people, that's not over. So that leaves us with exactly the same spiritual question that was faced by the readers in Malachi 3. When it comes to our finances and our resources and our giving, are we robbing God of that which he wants to use to benefit his people? Are we robbing God? Or are we testing that God is who he says he is? And that when we live in obedience, he will give us such abundant resources and such abundant blessing. The blessing through the ministry of the word, the blessing through fellowship together, the blessing of the ministry of the word, there will be such a blessing that our ministry here at North Pine will be a flood. A flood as the Lord outpours his blessing upon us. Are we robbing God? or are we testing God? That's a question you want to ask yourself as you go into this week. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you, Lord, for your abundant supplies to us each and every day. And we acknowledge, Lord, that compared to many of around the world, that we have significant wealth. And we know, Lord, that with that wealth, we have significant responsibility. We also know that within our congregations, Lord, we have those who don't have significant wealth, who do struggle, who are not able to give as much as others in terms of dollars. But we also want to acknowledge, Lord, that for each one of us, no matter what our financial capacity, we can either be robbing God or we can test God. And so, Lord, through your Spirit, through the teachings that we have as we look at the different scriptures in these coming weeks, through talking together and wrestling through it and reflecting on it and praying through it, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, convict us that we may be those who are cheerful givers, that we may be those who, in a response of obedience, but also out of the grace that you have shown to us, are generous givers. That we want to be those who ultimately want to see your kingdom growing, that your word is going forth and blessing, that the community that we have together is a blessing and we're celebrating, and the ministry of mercy is being shown to the community that we have and amongst ourselves. So God, through your Spirit in this week, enable us to reflect on what we've heard today and convict us as you need to. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.